Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello, Mr. Grant.
How are you today?
Good to see you once again. Hey, you've got a cheerful look on your face. We're talking about cheerful giving this week, giving and estate planning.
We are, actually. Cheerful giving is exactly the scripture that we're going to go to and spend a little time around and how that gets applied to our estate planning. And so, giving is always a good topic, isn't it?
Giving is a great topic. I think we all want to be generous. Some of us can afford to be more generous than others, but you like to really encourage everybody. Everybody can be generous in some way. I mean, Jesus said the widow gave all she had. She just gave like a penny, basically, and Jesus commended her for that.
Absolutely. It's always a matter of the heart, is it not? That we recognize what God has given, and then in response to his astounding blessing, we want to emulate and demonstrate his character, which is God so loved that he gave.
Right.
And so, I want to look at some giving principles and how it applies to estate planning specifically. But I want to spend this first part before the break in a little bit in some scriptures and talk about the premise of estate planning giving as a starting point first.
Okay.
And so you already mentioned the scripture.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7.
Yeah, and so what that starts out as is, now I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Of course, I have to change the page as it goes on. So here we go. And the second part of that is, so each one of must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Right.
And so so we see this scripture that that first Paul is talking about, that those who give little can expect little back, but those who sow bountifully can expect bountifully back. And then he moves into a discussion of, but don't give under compulsion. Don't give in a manner that we feel legalistic or that we feel that we must or we have to. Rather, God wants us to have the right heart in our giving. He wants us to give in a manner that causes joy to us, because that's the type of giving that God wants to receive.
Right.
And so when we look at this, I've always really enjoyed this scripture because it also applies somewhat to our tithing principle, is that we want to tithe out of a right heart, not out of a religious or a dutiful act. Rather, this scripture also, you know, states that God wants us to be joyful in giving in all that we do, whether it's in a tithe or whether it's in generosity and whether it's in giving up and beyond. And so a couple other scriptures that we look at, Luke 6, I have to turn my Bible, so apologize for the minor delay here. Of course, I could have bookmarked all these too, couldn't have I? But you know, radio, sometimes you just get the real deal. So we're just going to keep going here. And in Luke 6, 38, what we find here is at the end of all of the blessings. In matter of fact, let me just start earlier, where Jesus talks about all the blessings, right? The Beatitudes, the blessings, and he starts out by, "Blessed are those who are poor," right? And then he wraps up this entire section in 6:38, and he says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back to you." So that's very cohesive, mm-hmm. and virtually the same thing that Paul was saying,
right.
is that by the measure we give, whether it's by little or whether it's by a lot, that is what we can expect. And this is because I believe God needs and wants us to walk in faith. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, when we give, there is something that happens in us as the giver, that we begin to turn our expectation, or in other words, our faith, because that's really what faith is our expectation. Right. We begin to turn our expectation towards the giver himself. And as we look upon him, we begin to see and we begin to accept his amazing generosity. I often relate generosity to my own life in an aspect that I'm just a mere man, and yet there's virtually nothing I won't do for my girls. And I think sometimes we, as Christians, make God out to be a rule follower, that if I give, if I do, if I perform, that now I've earned or now I've been able to leverage God to such a degree that he must be able to do something for
right,
me.
Right.
And yet I find myself as an earthly father wanting to give to my kids without any conditions whatsoever. And so if that's the attitude that I have as an earthly father, how much more does perfect love want to give to his children?
Right.
And so I find that God is an amazingly generous God. And he wants to bless us beyond what we can dream or think of. And so, but in estate planning, then, how does this exactly work and translate that I want to be a giver, and yet scriptures are talking about that if I give, then it will be returned back unto me. And so in the aspect of estate planning, there is certainly a loss, or the attitude of loss of stewardship, that at the end of my life, I am just going to make one final gift, and it is typically, I'm just going to give everything to my kids. I'm just going to treat them equally, and it is a loss of stewardship. And what I have been on a journey in looking at is, I don't believe that we are to give up stewardship just because it's our turn to go meet Jesus face to face. As a matter of fact, I think we would all agree that we have a stewardship responsibility in what God has freely given us and has blessed us with. And you mentioned, you know, some people have a lot and some people struggle on day-to-day living. But there is something that the Lord has given us that we want and that he has a desire for us to return back into the ministry. And so whether that is a large check or a small, you mentioned the widow's mite, it's the heart of the matter that pleases God. And so in Ecclesiastes 2, we think that this was Solomon, because it starts out that I'm the preacher, which is also translated in other translations as the teacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. And so while he doesn't specifically identify himself, most theologians do believe that this is Solomon, even though there's a reason, we're not quite sure why he hides who he is.
Well, Ecclesiastes is an interesting book.
Yeah, it's very interesting, yeah. isn't it? It's really a nice
futility of life and all these things.
Yeah.
Seems like you wouldn't find that in the Bible, but God acknowledges people do have their doubts.
Absolutely. And really, I think the big takeaway from Ecclesiastes is that outside of God and in our own striving and in our own mind and in our own works, it really is for naught. But when we turn our attention and our heart towards God, there is a different potential, a different result that can come of it. It doesn't always happen because we need to partner with God to make that take place. Mm. But in the second chapter, he's talking about that I have acquired all of these things. I have acquired servants. I've acquired wealth. I've acquired and gathered all these things. And then he says at the very end, but I've labored for all these just so I can hand it off to somebody, and I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that sounds a lot like estate planning.
It sure does.
is that, boy, that sure sounds like a lot of individuals that I sit down and talk to. That I talk a lot with my clients concerning the aspect of, well, what will your kids do with this? And as a matter of fact, even on these shows, we've talked about the idea that 80% of individuals who win the lottery go to bankruptcy.
Right.
And yet I have talked about the idea that an inheritor has very similar characteristics mm-hmm. as a lottery winner, that it's sudden money, that all of a sudden it is money that they've never had and they've never been trained with. And while we hope that our children will do great, because that's how we're created. We're created to hope in their strengths and forgive their weaknesses.
Right.
That oftentimes we don't know exactly what they'll do with it. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that's where we can talk about setting up trusts instead of using a will, where we can exert some aspect of guidance for individuals, specifically if there's children that have problems, we can assist them to make sure that they do better instead of just handing it off and wishing and hoping.
Right.
And really, that's what I find in generosity as well, is that there's a stewardship. And I think stewardship, we would acknowledge, means that where am I giving my current finances that God has called me to do? A couple weeks ago, I played a message from Kingdom Builders, and it was really about what's your kingdom vision. And stewardship then would, as we kind of tie those messages together, stewardship would have the idea that says, if I give someplace, then I should partake and participate in ensuring that that ministry is utilizing what I give to them well. And so do we belong to churches that have full disclosure? Are we watching over and are we paying attention mm-hmm. to meetings that we go to ensure that they are actually utilizing what God has entrusted me with mm-hmm. to ensure that they are utilizing it well? And so therefore, the idea that stewardship must end at passing, I think, is a little bit of a misnomer, at least that's what I see. And when we come back from break, I want to take a quick jaunt back into Genesis and talk about the initial instructions that God mm-hmm. gave us mm-hmm. over stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And that we, as believers, need to be thinking about these things. I'm not telling anybody what to do. Really, the whole part of our discussion today is, let's think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just making the assumption that I'm to leave it and never say anything about it again, let's have the conversation about what does it mean to be a steward, even though I may be face-to-face with Jesus, instead of just simply leaving it alone and hoping that somebody does good by it.
How we give in estate planning, we'll discuss this further in just a moment. People are intrigued, though. They want to check into estate planning with you and your company. Paul, how do people get in touch with you?
They can go to legacyandfaith.com. It's our website. There's an opportunity to come to an educational program. We run them on a monthly basis, at least, at our law office in Linwood. And so go to legacyandfaith.com. information, sign up for an educational. There's also a way to ask questions. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, Paul Grant, the Legacy and Faith Show continues in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And going back to the book of Genesis for the second part of our show this week, giving and generosity in estate planning. Paul Grant, interesting discussion. We really can give beyond the grave, so to speak, in our the way we set up our plan.
Right.
And you're excited about this subject.
Yeah. Obviously, as an estate planner, it's what I do every day. So it does shape some of how I think as a believer and as a Christian. And so let's take a peek at some of our initial discussion or what God has told us initially concerning stewardship, because that's really the word that I want to start focusing on is stewardship instead of giving. So we know that we want to be generous, and we know that the measure that we give is the measure that we receive. So looking back at Genesis 1 in chapter 26, God then said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creepy thing that creeps," even if it's very creepy. So, and then 27 is, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion.'" And so God moves on, and even in 2:15, I want to jump to Genesis 2:15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die.'" So here's what I want us to see is that God gave us instructions on stewardship. So he first created us, and then he gave us dominion over everything that was created. And then he put us and stated, "Be fruitful and multiply." Well, actually, that aligns a lot with the scriptures that we did talk about, "Give and it shall be given." So be fruitful and multiply. And then in 2:16, this is a very interesting thing. I think we overlook this oftentimes. "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden." So man already had breath in him. And so I can imagine that God actually took Adam's hand and walked with him into the Garden of Eden. So it's not that he picked him up like you do a child and placed him there, but rather he took him by the hand, led him into the Garden of Eden, and then again he gave him further instructions on how to be a proper steward, on how to properly tend, because that's what 2:15 says, is that I want you to tend to this. I want you to look over. I want you to be the caretaker of everything that I've given you dominion of. So what we really find is that stewardship is the exercise of our God-given dominion over what he has given us. So stewardship is us exercising dominion, our God-given dominion, over what he has put us in charge of. And so we have a high responsibility. I think most Christians listening would say, yes, of course, we believe that we have that we have a responsibility, that that we are to make sure that we use what God has given wisely, and that we are to give into good ministries. And so, but this also then sounds very similar to the talents, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I've given one 10, one 5, and another one, and the instructions were to care over those. And one person created the 10 into 10, another 5 into 5, and then yet we buried one. And we find out that that was a wicked servant, right? Because they did nothing with what was given to them. And isn't that interesting that it was the one who had very, very little that was under the same instructions to care for and to make sure that they tended with dominion over what God had given them? And so as we think about generosity in estate planning, there are ways that we can ensure that instead of just simply writing a check, in our estate plan to individuals, which we've talked about in previous shows. So I want to also make sure that we think about the opportunity to give and continue our heart of generosity in estate planning. Here's the first thing. It really does surprise me at how little in my experience as an estate planner, how little there is towards nonprofits and towards giving in estate planning just as a starting place.
Most of it just goes to the family.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm not saying that that's good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. I'm just discussing and giving something that I have personally seen when I've done hundreds and hundreds of plans, mm-hmm. is that most individuals begin to lose their radical generosity that maybe they demonstrated in life. And I'm not sure what the disconnect is, and I'm not sure why the change of mentality, even when dealing with Christians, that there's a change of mentality that says, I'm not going to continue what I have done throughout the course of my lifetime. I'm going to now take the final things that I have, and I'm going to take a hands-off approach. And I'm not so sure that I see anything biblical with that thought process. As a matter of fact, if we looked at Old Testament and the laying on of hands, and the passing of the mantle of anointing, I would actually encourage Christians that it is exactly the opposite, which is that we are to be raising the next generation to be just as radically generous and to pass on what God has entrusted us with stewardship onto that next generation. But we understand that in our humanness that we don't always get parenting right. I don't know about anybody else, but and thankfully my children are not here in the studio with me to discuss the areas that I may have not gotten right as a parent. And so, of course, we use faith, right? Train up a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. There's an aspect of engaging in faith that says, God, I trust you with that. I will build a biblical foundation, and I will trust you with my children that you will pull their hearts towards you. But train a child up in the way that they should go. How about, have we trained them financially? Have we trained them as parents? Have we trained them as spouses? Have we trained them as good employees? Have we trained them in the ways of godliness? So that scripture can be utilized on so many different levels. So again, not really trying to make any conclusions in today's discussion. As a matter of fact, I want to stay far away from conclusions. It's really about the open discussion and the opportunity for us to think through as Christians, what does it mean that God has given me stewardship over my belongings? What does it mean that God has given me the instructions to train up the next generation? And what does it mean then to blend those two together and ensure that we're handing off a legacy to the next generation, mm-hmm. to our children, mm-hmm. and not just hoping that they will fulfill mm-hmm. something, mm-hmm. but giving the confidence that they will carry forth and carry out the stewardship that I've been entrusted with? But here's then also the blend is, are your children or are those who you are leaving things to, are they going to and do they have the same quality of stewardship that you've demonstrated? Mm. If not, then should we begin to think about making sure that we give them better instructions instead of just writing a check? That could apply to churches as well. People do want to give to missions, to their church, to other nonprofits, and make sure that at the end of their life that there is something of their estate that continues mm-hmm. to perpetuate their values and their stewardship. But we need to ensure, and we need to make sure that the final act of stewardship is one of full responsibility and full stewardship that says, I have passed this off in a way that is pleasing unto God, instead of, I am just passing it off and my hands are gone and it's a hands-off approach. I really think that that may be a thought process that this world has given us, and we need to make sure that we're, even at the in estate planning, that we are aligning our thinking and our values and our stewardship with a biblical, godly principle. And so I encourage us to think about it and pray about what does it mean for our final act of stewardship.
How we give in estate planning, it can be done, and it's an intriguing thought and something to keep in mind for your estate. If you are intrigued by Paul's discussion today and you want some more information and maybe to get together with Paul in some way, how do people contact you, Paul?
Then go to our website at legacyandfaith.com. Educational seminars, opportunity to ask questions. Would love to hear from you.
Podcasts of these shows, too, right there.
Absolutely.
At legacyandfaith.com. Another Legacy and Faith show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.